The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray, Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol here with you. And what a game and a tie we have to look back on between Real Madrid and Manchester City. Real Madrid are through to the Champions League final to face Liverpool against all odds. And there is much to discuss when it does come to this game. Joining us to do so, we're going to also have Gab. And we're hoping to hear from Nadim a little bit later on. But Gab Marcotti is with us. But I want to start with you, Ali. How have Real Madrid done this again?
I have no idea. The truth is that they were dead. And I mean, when I say dead, they were dead. 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 Maybe not buried. The only people that believe that Real Madrid still had an opportunity after the 90th minute was the Real Madrid players. Maybe. Maybe because there was no reason to believe from what we had seen in the game that there was a comeback from Real Madrid, that they were going to be able to recreate what they did against PSG and Chelsea. Manchester City were as comfortable as you could possibly be in a semifinal, second leg, Santiago Bernabeu against Real Madrid. There was no momentum from Real Madrid like there was in those other games. There was nothing, nothing to hang on to. And then Rodrigo scored. And what amazes me is not only the response of Real Madrid, but how quickly it falls apart for a team like Manchester City. And we criticize PSG and we criticize Chelsea. And we have to criticize Manchester City as well, how quickly it fell apart. But before we get to Manchester City, focusing on Real Madrid, self-belief is an overwhelmingly powerful thing. And this team has it in bunches. And the history of recent success of this club and this group of players in moments like this is the only thing that you can hang on to. And men, they do it better than anybody else in the world. This team, this group of players, this whole club in Champions League is something else. It's something special, something that cannot be touched. They are something special to watch in moments like this.
So many factors to break down. What do you think the turning point was in the game, Stevie?
I think there's no question that if Mendy doesn't clear that ball off the line, then they're buried, as Ali was talking about. Because that gave them, that still gave them the chance. I mean, Courtois made another save after that as well.
They're both Grealish.
Yeah. Both from Grealish. So they've been hanging on by a thread since the referee blew the whistle in the first leg. Let's be honest. They got completely outplayed in the first leg, somehow only come away one behind. They did nothing in the first 90 minutes of this game to suggest they didn't even look as though they were behind the way they played. The fact that they didn't get a shot on target before 90 minutes tells you all you need to know. They didn't look as though they were in any hurry to score. I mean, they were just, it was just incredible, which is why there was people leaving the Bernabeu in the 90th minute, because they thought it was done as well. And then all of a sudden, Rodrigo, I mean, just a fantastic run, just takes the gamble, and all of a sudden, that belief just appears and sucks the life out of Manchester City.
Gav, it's a strange thing to say, but you almost wonder if City scoring was the most dangerous part of it, because then suddenly Real Madrid kicked into that remontada mode.
You would think so, except a lot of time passed between City scoring and Rodrigo equalizing in the 89th minute. You know, there's a famous Juanito quote about how 90 minutes is an eternity at the Bernabeu. Sure, but there was no sense of urgency. And you could look at it both ways. You can say, well, they were being patient. Yeah, maybe patience, maybe lack of urgency. Then is the flip side of patience, isn't it? So it was remarkable. Certainly, for me, you know, obviously Mendy is the turning point, but then you could also point to that, you know, without that incredible save by Courtois off of Grealish, we're having a different conversation now. So I just, hats off. I don't know how to do it. It's voodoo. It's supernatural, and it's happened so many times that you know, you really have to wonder.
So why did anyone count them out, Ale? Why did anyone count them out when it was just a goal advantage for City and we knew it was back at the Santiago Bernabeu for the second leg?
Because that 4-3 result at Manchester City was the best possible result that Real Madrid could have hoped for on the night. They were largely outplayed. Manchester City created quality chances, not half chances, quality chances consistently in that game. So logic would tell you that if indeed Real Madrid was going to open up and they had to go and win the game against Manchester City at home, that even more opportunities would be available to Manchester City and that they would be able to control the game. And while Manchester City were not all that expensive, they still created enough opportunities. And most of all, they were in full control of the pace of the game. So the reason you overlook Real Madrid at your own peril, by the way, and this is something that we have said time and time again, overlook Real Madrid at your own peril, you tend to go down that direction because Manchester City were far superior, significantly superior to Real Madrid, more so than the one goal would suggest. And then 90 minutes happen. And over 90 minutes, you still maintain, you know what? Yeah, Manchester City is a better team than Real Madrid. But then things just turn so quickly. And it almost feels like this group of players, like Santiago Bernabeu, they are touched by forces beyond our understanding. Because there is nothing logical about how the last few minutes of that game transpire. And there is nothing logical from our experiences to suggest, yeah, Manchester City somehow are going to collapse and Real Madrid somehow are going to turn this around. We had no evidence of it over this 90 minutes. We had evidence against Chelsea and evidence against PSG. But the difference was significant between these two clubs, and we thought that it would be enough for Manchester City, and it wasn't.
Gab?
No, I completely agree that the gulf in superiority was there. And, you know, ultimately, I don't think it's any secret that Real Madrid's game plan was, we're a goal down, let's keep it tight, let's wait for them to make a mistake, and then if it's still 0-0 in the last 15 minutes, we throw the kitchen sink and hope for the best. And, you know, in the end, that's the nature of the sport. It's low scoring. It often doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean that you don't deserve it if you can go and pull it around while being outplayed. It's just what makes a sport different from basketball. It's a low scoring game, and you get these situations. If Ederson reacts that little bit more quickly, if he gambles a little bit on Benzema's ball, we don't have this conversation. I'm not saying it's Ederson's fault, but there's so many little tiny things. You put that, you put the Mendy clearance, the Courtois save, all these things put together, and you get what we had here tonight.
Carlo Ancelotti said after the game how history almost favours them in their own heads. How can that happen? Because this is Rodrigo scoring two goals. He is 21 years old. Really, he has nothing to do with the history of Real Madrid, and yet they all have that belief instilled within them.
Well, the key is the first goal from Rodrigo, because what that does is puts pressure on the opposition. And regardless of whether you have great football-playing centre-backs, if you have... And I'm talking particularly about the two City centre-backs, because in my opinion, if you really look back at all the goals, both Laporte and Diaz have caused at least four of them. You know, Gab's talking about Edison, maybe if he'd come and come out and grabbed that cross. Well, Diaz should have been attacking the ball. Diaz should have been attacking the cross. Listen, Real Madrid's equaliser is a ball thrown in to the penalty box that a Sunday league side would do. It's not fantastic 1-2 play and dribbling, you know, Rabonas. It's nothing like out of the ordinary. It's Rabonas. A ball thrown in, and you've got two big lug centre backs, 6 foot odd, who neither of them get anywhere close to the ball, and Rodrigo scores.
But is that
and then Diaz? Hold on, Diaz, horrible bit of defending, gives the penalty away. So, you know, if I'm City, I can look at the chances missed, and I look at the mistakes defensively. That completely change. And it's basically, if you throw a bone to a team like Real Madrid, particularly in the Bernabeu, with the ability they have, then they're going to take it every day of the week. And that's what they've done. They've taken advantage of every single little bone and sniff that they were given. Not just in this game, but in the Chelsea one and the PSG one. They've taken advantage of every single one. Which, how long can that last?
But it's obviously a huge help. But if you're a young player there and somebody says, you know the history, yeah. You know that it happened, you know they're famous for these comebacks. Is that all it takes to know, okay, I'm part of this now?
No. You're part of it, but you need to prove that you're indeed part of it, that you're going to live through that history and that you're going to prove your place in that history. And that's exactly what a guy like Rodrigo has done, that comes on the field. And it's not just this game. We go back to the Chelsea game. That game was also on the balance for Real Madrid. And it felt like they were dead back then. And it felt like one of the key plays was a big save from Courtois in that game against Chelsea. And then Rodrigo scores a big goal. And then Rodrigo scores a big goal today again. And then Rodrigo scores another big goal today. And you talk about details in a game and how things change. And it's just a matter of inches here and there and everywhere. There's a deflection in that cross for the second goal by Rodrigo today by Marco Asensio, who flicks it on to Rodrigo, who's already jumped, and somehow he makes an adjustment and has the header. You would think that Rodrigo has been scoring goals like that naturally his whole life. Now, whether we can point to history and say, well, it must have been history that elevated Rodrigo for this header, sure, you can go down that path if you so desire. The truth is that self-belief, and I'll go back to that, walking the hallways of Real Madrid and the training facility and Santiago Bernabeu, you see all the trophies. You see the history of the club. And you know full well that magical nights at Santiago Bernabeu and Champions League is something special because there's an expectation. Now, we're just going to go back to this season. Let's not go back to all the other magical nights that they've had at Santiago Bernabeu. Just this season alone. If you had any doubts of what being a Real Madrid player in Champions League means, just look at what they've been able to do in this run. And Stevie just said, how long can that last? I have no idea. I have no clue how long can this last, because they should have been done against PSG. They should have been done against Chelsea. They should have been done against Manchester City. And here they are with an opportunity to go into a final where everybody's going to say, Liverpool are favorites. Liverpool are favorites.
But they are.
You know, yeah, absolutely. Well, they are. I'm not denying that.
We're talking logic.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Logic doesn't work with this team.
No.
Are you happier that it's Real Madrid in the final?
Absolutely. If you give me a choice before this game kicked off, I would absolutely have said I would rather play against Real Madrid than Manchester City. And yes, you can point to all these. I mean, just the football gods are shining on them something rotten right now. But they can't last forever. Logic just tells you that you can't keep doing this. And they've still got to do it again because they're playing against a better side than them as they were against Man City, as they were against Chelsea, and probably as they were against PSG. They're all better sides than them. But somehow the soccer gods have pulled them through again.
And Gab, I hear you laughing. I mean, sometimes it's all you can do when you can't explain this voodoo, as you're saying.
No, and look, I was there in 2005 in Istanbul when Liverpool were 3-0 down, thoroughly outplayed, and in the space of 8 minutes scored 3 goals and then won on penalties, right? And, you know, you talk about logic. There was no logic to that whatsoever. And it's funny, and maybe it's karma. Although I think Carlo Ancelotti might say that karma is repaid him back in bundles, because between Sergio Ramos's goal in Lisbon, last minute of the Champions League final to equalize against Atletico Madrid, and then the Paris Saint-Germain game, and then the Chelsea game, and then tonight. Istanbul was painful, but, you know, he got his own coming back.
So, now let's get to Man City. Mm. Because PSG was slaughtered by the panel after Real Madrid came back against them. Should City be slaughtered after what we saw over the two legs?
No, I don't think
should they be slaughtered for what happened tonight?
I don't think they should be slaughtered. No, listen, had Manchester City turned up tonight and lost 4-0 and got completely outplayed and embarrassed in that way, then they would have deserved to be slaughtered. But the fact is, certain little things didn't go their way that turned into be enormous things.
But is it their fault they didn't go their way?
Well, yeah, of course you can. I've just sat here and told you that both centre-backs, in my opinion, are one of
the other end of the
there are two reasons, yeah. They didn't take the chances, and the goals they lost were avoidable. Those are the two main reasons why this team has gotten beaten. But I don't think they deserve to be slaughtered. You know, you can't... Players make mistakes, and sometimes the opposition get a rub of the green. And that sounds a little illogical to say that those two factors mean that you lose a two-legged semi-final. But that's what happens in football. We've just been talking about it. Some things you can't explain. So you can't go pillorying Manchester City or slaughtering them because they got beaten. Because the way the games went, they should have won. But the football gods didn't give them it.
Yeah, but you got to see the game out, though, Stevie, right? You're in full control.
Yes, you can.
They'd won after that goal from Mahrez then?
No, I don't think that Manchester City at that point was overlooking Real Madrid. What I think was concerning from Manchester City's perspective is the lack of understanding of the moment. Is that, okay, what is Real Madrid going to do? They haven't been able to get a shot on target. Eventually, they're just going to commit numbers forward. Eventually, they're just going to lump balls into the box, trying to get in the end of the second balls and rebound something so that they manufacture a chance from nothing. And that's how the first goal comes. And yet, what you find from Manchester City today defensively in those moments is things that we have seen already this season from the same pair of center backs.
So it's individuals, not the team.
Right.
And you know, you could pull out individuals right. that I've just done. So it's not the team. You know, you can't. Within a team, there will be games and days where individuals make mistakes. Sometimes you get away with it and sometimes you don't. And unfortunately, this was a huge day to have individuals making mistakes.
But the point to me is, you got to see out today, right? Let's focus on that. You got to see it out. You cannot be surprised that Real Madrid scores and Santiago Bernabeu is jumping and the energy and everything is happening. The momentum is not with you and you're not able to adjust to it. That you're not able to get out from that pattern of, well, we're just going to play out of things. We're going to make it pretty. We're going to keep possession of the ball. No. See, sometimes all of that, in theory, is great. How about you just put it over there in the 20th row and kill the game off? How about you don't have to keep perfect possession of the ball? How about you put some numbers behind the ball and you get tough defensively and clear out a header and your center backs come and clean somebody out in order to clear out a header? Sometimes you got to get ugly to get through. And Manchester City haven't proven in this competition, at the very least, that they can get ugly when it's their turn to do so. That in moments in which you just have to get through the game, see the end of the game out, you haven't been able to do it. The only way that they were able to do it against Atletico Madrid, because Atletico Madrid got on their own way. But even in that game, there were moments in which Manchester City were nervous against a team that did not have any sort of resources going forward and hadn't proven that they could score a goal. So to me, you got to see it out today, and you also have to look back to the first leg and see the things that you left on the table there as well.
Okay, Gab, hold that thought, because Nadim Anua is actually joining us now. Hello, Nadim. We'd like to get your reaction, first of all, to what you saw tonight.
Well, the two sides to this is obviously the side of me as a fan. You know, I'm on a bit of a downer, to be honest. But from the sort of analytical side of it, you know, I agree with certain elements of what the guys are saying there, because when City went 1-0 up, you're almost expecting them to be able to manage the situation. And I think when Grealish had a chance in the 88th minute, you're thinking, well, it doesn't really matter because they're in control and so on and so forth. But the reality of the situation is, like, Real Madrid, they can get so well motivated by that clock, especially in that stadium. The time's ticking. They'll throw bodies forward. You know, for as good as they play at times, they'll throw bodies in the box. They'll put good quality in there. They'll try and stick the header on everything. And it is like a gut check as a defender and as a team in there. Can you win a header? Can you clear the ball? But I don't know. It was a shame because that second half for me was very disappointing from the City standpoint. And then the moment extra time started and there was that cheap penalty giveaway by Diaz, the last thing you needed was Real Madrid being in control of the game at home. Because that 30 minutes there, like, how long was the ball in play for? You know, they can manage the situation, manage the moment. And it was, for me, such a shame for them because, you know, they've worked very hard to be in this position, but it's just little individual errors at certain points that can make a big difference. And when you look at the context of those two goals, there's 60 seconds between the two of them. Like, anyone who watches, like, Real Madrid, they know the game is not over until that final whistle goes. They will throw everything at you. The crowd believe, the players believe. So you have to accept that this is what you're going to be faced with. So for them to concede that first one, and then, like, literally a minute later, concede that second, and don't get me wrong, I don't think Rodrigo's meant to sort of head it after somebody's flicked it, but still, they throw themselves in the box, they put the bodies there, and it just wasn't to be for City today. You know, I still think they're a very good side, but I think some of the individuals, in terms of how they play today, I don't think they're anywhere near their best. And I think when you play at these sorts of clubs, you get these big moments, and if you're not at your best, the sort of the downside of not working out is that you'll lose in a semi-final of the Champions League, you'll lose in the final of the Champions League. You know, you might lose a league title, lose a league cup and stuff like this. You can't hide. There's no hiding place in the middle of the field at Santiago Bernabeu as there's like 3 minutes left to go. So, you know, from a fan standpoint, I'm disappointed. But the reality is, you know, Real Madrid, they did what they do. This is Real Madrid in the Champions League. This is Real Madrid this season. They never give up. They find a way. They ride their luck whenever they need to. Even Casemiro not getting booked. But for City, I can't say they deserve to get to the final, because the fact of the matter is, like, they didn't manage the moment. And that's exactly what they needed to do. Going out in the second half, Real Madrid were 45 minutes away from being eliminated from the competition. And you were not to play into their hands. But unfortunately, as time passed, they ended up doing so. And then come extra time, as soon as Benzema scored that penalty, I just couldn't see City scoring. And that's just the inevitability of the situation, unfortunately.
So who wasn't at their best for City tonight, Nadim?
I thought overall the front three were very quiet. I thought Gabriel Jesus was really quiet. I thought Foden was quiet. I thought Mahrez was really quiet and at times really sloppy. Kevin De Bruyne wasn't very good. Like, even when he came off the field, I was thinking, oh, that still feels weird. But then you look back and you think, well, what did he do in the game? And then very quickly, Gundogan gets involved with Zinchenko and they create the goal for Mahrez. So, you know, they weren't at the best. I thought Bernardo Silva was pretty good, to be honest. And Rodri looked a bit tired towards the end. But it's just those... Just like the front three, as I say, they've done so well. They've done so well recently, but they just weren't really there today. And I think that affected De Bruyne as well. And City as an attacking threat, I thought they were nowhere near as good as, say, they have been in recent games. And I think what they needed really was more people to be trying to stretch the game in behind, but they didn't do that today. And I think as a matchup, that played into Real Madrid's hands. And, you know, to scoot forward towards the final, I think you can never count Real Madrid out. But like Liverpool, the most front foot, like high energy team that probably exists in Europe at this moment in time. And I think that's the way to break down a Real Madrid side, because City weren't really doing that today. And I think ultimately they paid the price.
He's definitely still got his centre-back union card going on. He never mentioned Liverpool. Well,
you didn't bring yours with you tonight. Gav.
Yeah. Sorry, Gav.
No, I think there's a broader issue here as well, which at some point City as a club need to deal with. And maybe it's been overlooked because obviously, you know, they're on their way possibly to winning their third straight Premier League title and so on. And they're one of the two best teams in the world. And that doesn't change this. But when we talk about individual players making individual mistakes and you've got, you know, three ex-pros there with you, the fact of the matter is sometimes you get worn down mentally and physically if you're playing a ton of games. And simple fact of the matter is City went on and went into the season with two more players than they have now. They haven't addressed Benjamin Mendy, obviously. They were counting on him. He was in the squad. And obviously then, for the reasons that we know, he was gone. And then Ferran Torres leaves in January. I'm not saying those two guys would have made the difference. But they're gone and they're not replaced, which means that many more minutes for certain players in certain situations. That means John Stones having to play in the first leg when he's not fit, and then Fernandinho having to come on. That could have been a disaster against Vinicius, and obviously Vinicius scored the one goal. That means a lot of little things that, you know, with hindsight, because Fernandinho, because these guys held up their end of the bargain to some degree, we don't necessarily think about. But I wonder, for all the money that they have and all the resources, I think that's still a very fair question to ask of the club. Why did you go into the season with two guys who you then lost, and why did you then not look to replace them? Just even to share the minutes around, and now it's head-to-head between now and the end of the season with you and Liverpool, and it's a question of who blinks first, and you're both running on fumes, potentially.
Nadim, do you think City have depth issues?
So, I love Gav, but I don't necessarily agree with that point, because I think, like, some of the players that have been rotated in and out, you know, they've had stretches where they've not been in the side. Ruben Diaz has been out injured. There was a point where Stones didn't start at the start of the season and things like this. And I think as well, for these types of clubs, I think the aim could be to have two players in every position, but one thing that we see is that there's never really a true sense of harmony because the players you bring in are capable of playing week in, week out for whichever club they would be at in the world. So you can't necessarily all have that sort of like harmony amongst the squad when it does go that deep. I think at times, you know, they have been stretched, but they've still been able to put out sides which can make a difference and play well. And I think at this time of the season now, like, it's tough. You know, it's really, really tough. Like, Liverpool this year, they're on an exceptional run and their squad's a bit deeper, but I wouldn't say it's the deepest squad in the world either, because the moment one or two people leave their squad, you look at them and leave the starting 11, you look at them in a certain manner, like, they don't appear as strong. You know, so maybe this guy isn't as good as this guy, and, you know, filling in for this and so on and so forth. But the reality is, this is the difficulty in playing at the highest standard, playing at the highest level, playing so many games. Like, to give Liverpool credit again, I remember being a part of, like, watching Man City last year, and I think they played 61 games out of a possible 62. And at Liverpool this year are going to be playing 62 out of a possible 62, I believe it is, with a squad that does get rotated every now and again, but they're still stalwarts within there who are playing basically week in, week out, and they might run on fumes, but they find a way to do it. And I think, as I say, like, I don't necessarily agree with Gab. I see what he's saying, like, for the numbers being down, but I don't think direct replacements for those people would necessarily bring anything to be more harmonious, because we see with some players, they're in for a bit, and then when they're out and they try and come back in, they don't perform anywhere near their best. And you start asking the question, are they good enough to even still be in that position? So I think overall, I think the depth is there, but sometimes these bad performances, when they come in April and May time, you know, they tend to be quite decisive. And unfortunately for City, they've had one of those today.
I refuse to consider the lack of depth for Manchester City as the reason as to why they don't get through today.
Right.
That's not the reason. I don't care what world we live in. That's not the reason. That's not the reason as to why Manchester City do not get through today. The fact that Ferran Torres is not around or Mendy is not around. No. It's just not the reason.
That's not what I'm saying.
Well, no. But the point being is that there were plays to be made for Manchester City in the first leg, and they did not. And there were plays to be made defensively and offensively in today's game, and they did not. Do you really think, quite honestly, quite frankly, do you really think that Rodrigo is thinking about the absence of Ferran Torres out on the field? No, it's not the answer to that. But you just mentioned Ferran Torres as Mendy as some sort of explanation on the broader term. That's what you use.
You can go and turn this all around this game tonight, and I agree with you. Tonight it didn't make a difference. But when you're building a team for a season, you're playing percentages. Kevin De Bruyne and Nathan Ake have been playing with painkillers. They're not fit, and yet they're out there playing. What I'm wondering is, how is it possible that on August 1st, you said, we need this many players, two of these guys are gone, and you don't replace them? What, you realize you don't need those guys anymore? You don't need to rotate in certain situations? You're fine because Fernandinho can play right back and Ake can be left back? I'm just wondering, why concede that margin of error? Why not take that? Why not address that? That's what I think is interesting. And I think it's
speaking
something
of, that if we're going to talk about depth,
years,
if we're going to talk about depth gap, if we're going to talk about depth gap, then I think we should focus more on the fact that Real Madrid, when they come back in this game, when they make this comeback, you don't have Casemiro on the field, you don't have Luka Modric on the field, you don't have Toni Kroos on the field, you're depending on Camavinga, you're depending on Marco Asensio, you're depending on Vinicius Jr., you're depending on Rodrigo. Now, that Real Madrid team, for the longest time this season, has been pointed out as lacking depth. And yet, you look at Camavinga come off the bench today, and he's running away from people and playing with confidence. And you see Rodrigo, and he's scoring goals. You see Jesus Vallejo, who up until last weekend had played a grand total of 14 minutes in all competitions for Real Madrid. And he's out there playing in the extra time. These are the players that were on the field for Real Madrid. And yet, Manchester City was not able to see it out. That has nothing, nothing, zero to do with any bigger picture or any players that Manchester City refused to sign, whether that's Ferran Torres, Mendy, or somebody else. They just didn't see the game out. Let's just focus on that, and let's focus on the success of Real Madrid. Don't give me this whole broader picture nonsense.
Right, we've got to put a lid on this one, but there is a Gab and Jules podcast.
Oh,
maybe
well.
We could continue the conversation over there. Nadim, of the recent heartbreaks for City in the Champions League, where does this one factor? Is this one hurt the most?
Why are you doing this? No, this one doesn't hurt the most. I think the one last year in the final hurts the most. Because I remember going to that game, I was very fortunate to be there. And, like, they just didn't perform for the whole game. And I was leaving thinking, I don't know if I'll ever get the chance to come back to watch a team play here again that I'm trying to support. And lo and behold, the very next year, they go out in the semi-final. So I think the sort of reflective nature of last year was probably the worst. But today, it just, especially that second half, they just didn't perform. And to put it into perspective, it was probably an alarm bell when 10 seconds into the second half, they had a 3v2 at the back post and Vinicius Junior just manages to miss that chance. So for them, they're going to have to sit on this one, suck it up. They've got 4 league games to go and they can't address this again till August, September time, come later on this year. So this one hurts, but probably not as much as the other one.
Stevie, the critic's going to be out for Pep Guardiola again.
There always is somebody who will go after him and blame him. But, you know, Pep can do a lot of things and coaches are responsible for a lot of things, but they're not responsible for individual errors in certain moments in games. That's not down to the coach. You know, that's down to the players. So anybody who does go after Pep is going after him for other reasons than the way his team have performed. Because A, they've gotten to this position, and B, they've outplayed Real Madrid. So what else is the coach supposed to do? He can't put the ball in the net. He can't make a defensive header. He can put his team in a position where they're going to succeed. And you cannot turn around and say that Pep hasn't put his team in a position to win. And if that's correct, which I believe to be, then you can't go criticising Pep.
This is not a criticism of Pep Guardiola, but I'm just going to contrast it with Carlo Ancelotti. And maybe this is an era where Pep Guardiola fell short, if you feel like you want to go down this path. All those players that I just mentioned that were included today by Carlo Ancelotti that played a major role in Real Madrid advancing, these are guys that haven't had a lot of minutes for long periods of time because Carlo Ancelotti was married to a starting 11 and there wasn't a lot of rotation, just a couple of players here and there, and that was about it. And yet, all those players get on the field, have an impact, and if you saw their celebration over the weekend, they all participate in that celebration with Carlo Ancelotti. And every time they made a challenge today, late in the game, or they force a throw-in, or they won the ball back, they're fist-pumping. They're excited. They're bringing the crowd into it. These are players that feel part of the whole squad, of the whole team, that they're winning not just because of the guys who start the game, but also because of them. There's something to be said about players that do not play all that much, and yet they feel like an important part of a group. And those guys, in the end, are the ones that made the difference for Real Madrid. And there's something to be said about the individual players that were able to do this, but there's also something to be said in creating an atmosphere and an environment that allows these players to maximize their potential. Carlo Ancelotti has done that at Real Madrid.
Let's talk about Carlo Ancelotti then. He is the first manager to make it to 5 Champions League finals, Gab. Does he get the respect that he deserves?
In real life, yeah. I don't see what you're going to go and argue. There is nobody who has won more Champions League finals as a coach. Nobody. Paisley's won as many, 3. So it's as simple as that. And now he's got a chance to go and win another one. I think Ali absolutely nailed it. He managed to keep these other people involved. He managed to make them feel important, even when they weren't. If you want to say, except for Gareth Bale, go ahead, say except for Gareth Bale. But even Eden Hazard felt involved. And I think that's really important. And I don't think it's so much that he was married to the idea of not rotating because he's changed many things over the years. He simply looked at his squad. He looked at his difference makers. And he felt, and they felt, that they were better off rotating less. and they were better off with Valverde in certain games later in the season, you know, rather than playing a 4-3-3. And he listened to them, and he trusted them. And, you know, I think that comes with experience, but that also comes with an enormous EQ, emotional intelligence, being able to know what buttons to push. And I think a lot of great managers have this, but he has this in spades.
Nadim, can you believe Ancelotti was coaching Everton last season?
Oh, gosh. You're twisting his knife in now, aren't you? Come on. No, as you can see from all those appearances in the Champions League finals, you know, he's a very, very good, very, very successful manager. He's won titles everywhere. He knows what he's doing. So for him to get that Real Madrid job again, like, you know, it makes sense. You can see from the way that they play. And just what it is to be, like, a Madridista as well. You know, there's more to it. Like, Ancelotti understands that. And I think he has brought those players on board who maybe don't play week in, week out. But, you know, barring maybe one person who was mentioned before, everyone seems to have bought into what the culture is at that football club. And what a great opportunity it was for them. I think there was a banner that was up before the game. It's like another great magical night in Madrid or whatever for, you know, in the Champions League. So it's one of those things. Like, he understands the culture. The players understand the culture. They understand what it means to represent that football club and to represent that football club on the European scene at those home nights and stuff. And, yeah. It's a far cry from being at Goodison Park now, trying to fight off relegation going into the Championship. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just one step along his journey, and maybe he'll get another Champions League title at the end of this month.
Is he underrated, Stevie? Because we talk about the top managers and you always hear Klopp and Pep. You don't always hear Ancelotti's name in that list.
I don't think he's underrated at all. Anybody in football, when you hear the name Ancelotti, it's respect straight away. I think what goes against them with a large part of football fans, maybe, is that he's not in your face, he's not loud, he doesn't push it all the time. Yeah. He's quite happy to do the one thing that every single coach wants to do on a regular basis, and that's win. And he doesn't go to the top of the mountain and start shouting it to everybody. I think that's why people don't think of him in terms of, like, these superstars, because he doesn't act like a superstar. He acts like a guy that wants his team to win, and he does what's needed to win. But unfortunately, he doesn't do it in a brash and loud manner. And that's, I think, what the problem is, not the fact that he's not respected.
Well, he's well respected by his players, and that's all that matters. His players respond to him. And the truth is that while he sits there and the camera will focus on him and he'll be smacking that gum, but really no expression in that face, that man knows what he's doing. And he knows and has seen so many things in this game, and no circumstance is new to him. There's nothing in this game that Carlo Ancelotti hasn't experienced. And there is something to be said about, in moments where things get a little quick, panicky, nervous, tense, and everybody's just running around, Carlo Ancelotti is still there, smacking that gum, and no expression in his face, knowing full well that he has a team out there that will respond to him. And that's what every manager wants, to understand with certainty that the players out there are going to do what you ask them to do, and that you can trust them to do a job. And he does that, again, better than just about everybody else in the world.
Gab, if Real Madrid go on to beat Liverpool in the final, will this run from them this season be seen as one of the best runs in Champions League history?
Certainly one of the most improbable ones. You can look at it and say, well, we beat Liverpool, City, Paris Saint-Germain, and Chelsea along the way. That's certainly one of the toughest runs ever. But then people will also remember that they were outplayed in many of those games, and it took these incredible comebacks. And I think people are going to go and they're going to praise the fortitude of this team, the fact that they're unflappable. And I hope amidst all this, they also note that one thing about Ancelotti was, you know, he was fourth choice when he arrived at the Bernabeu. They had Pochettino, Allegri, and Conte ahead of him, and for different reasons, they ended up going for Ancelotti, almost as an afterthought. This was supposed to be a transition year before all the big free agencies next season, and Mbappe and Pogba and all this stuff. And he worked with what he had. You know, he lost Ramos and Varane in the summer. He made Militao a much better player. He made I'm not saying he made Vinicius a better player. Vinicius happened to become a dominant player in Ancelotti's first season in charge. You could make a similar case for what we saw from Camavinga tonight. Took a little while to get going, maybe. Valverde as well. So even this whole thing that, oh, he's good with the veterans because he listens to them and he pushes their button and motivates people like Modric and Benzema, as if Modric and Benzema, frankly, need any kind of motivation. Sure, he gets the best out of veterans, but as we said before, his players respond to him. Just look at how Cristiano Ronaldo reacted way back when Ancelotti was let go. So he can do so many different things. He's just not in your face about it. And we don't, because he can do so many different things, we don't talk about the things he does well.
I mean, we're talking about the run as well that they've done. And these obviously improbable, as Gab mentioned, improbable comebacks that we've seen. But just think of the level of the competition they've got through to get here as well. That has to be mentioned, doesn't it, Stevie?
I kind of feel as though you want me to start gushing a little bit, but the truth of the matter is they've been outplayed by all these teams.
Here we go.
But what happened in the end?
It's football. That's what happened.
Again.
That's why we turn up every single time there's a game and put it on, because we're... You always think you've seen everything.
Are you glad the final's one leg?
That could be an advantage for Liverpool, actually. For a team to win the Champions League and having beaten Paris Saint-Germain, having beaten Chelsea, having beaten City, having beaten Liverpool, it seems a little strange that you would talk about, well, the great desire and not giving up. Because that sounds a little bit condescending, right? But the truth is, if they win it, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're not going to be talking about this team dazzled Europe. This team outplayed anybody that was put in front of them. This team was so much better than anybody else. We're going to be talking about, we're going to be scratching our head, the wood chip's going to be falling all over this table, and we're going to go, how did this team win the Champions League? I mean, that's just the truth.
Well, are you still wondering?
And if that doesn't sound like I'm praising them, I'm sorry.
it didn't sound like you were praising them. You're okay.
Definitely against them now. And there'll be a lot more talk about this tie on the Gab and Jules podcast, as always. That drops twice a week. Make sure to download that wherever you do get your podcasts. And you'll often hear Nadim on there. But Gab, thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget, on the latest Gab and Jules podcast, we hear from that man himself, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a look at the odds to lift the trophy in the final on May 28th.
Liverpool favourites, are they? Why is that?
No, Stevie. There'll be a lot more talk about this on Extra Time. Stevie, Ale and Nadim will be with us for Extra Time. Still got the Europa League to go this week. Taking a look at the bracket there. Frankfurt 2-1 in that first leg against West Ham. Now it goes back to Germany. Rangers taking that 1-0 lead to Ibrox as well over Rangers. So as it stands, it's an all-German final on the cards. But I'm sure there will be some surprises in those games coming up tomorrow.
No offense, it's a little bit of a letdown. I got to be honest with you.
Europa Conference League.
Oh, this is really a letdown.
No. Second leg semis too. Roma and Feyenoord have the better first leg results to take into those second legs versus Leicester and Marseille, respectively. We'll be finding out what happens in them and who'll make the final also tomorrow. And we'll be back to do this all over again and talk about it on the next edition of ESPN FC. Make sure you join us to do that. CONCACAF Champions League coming up Wednesday night. Seattle Sounders against Pumas as we take a look at the odds in this one. Remember, it was tied 2-2 in the first leg. Seattle looking to become the first MLS team to win the tournament. Big recap of this on tomorrow's Football Americas. Make sure to check that out on ESPN Plus. They will be breaking down everything they see tonight. It is Seb and Herc looking back on it all tomorrow. And the championship as well, heating up. We know the two teams that are up in Fulham and Bournemouth, but there are still the playoff spots to decide. We've got Luton Town taking on Reading on Saturday. You can catch that on ESPN Plus. Same goes for Sheffield United against Fulham, also on ESPN Plus, 7:30 a.m. Eastern. Well, that will do it for the latest edition of the show, but we're not done yet.
What?
Extra Time is coming up with Stevie, LA and Nadim. All right, welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. I wonder what so many of these questions could be today. I'm going to have to read them off my screen because it's one of those.
Can I ask you a question? Was Gab sat in the sauna doing the end? Gab in the sauna? Because he started, when he started the show, he was all cool, calm and collected. And by the time the end of the show, his hair was wet. There was sweat dripping off his brow. What's going on here, Gab? You don't notice?
Maybe it's because he was getting interrogated by Ale.
No, there was no interrogation. I'm just, honestly, of all the things that we could point at for reason as to why Manchester City did not advance in the competition, squad depth was not one of them. All right, good to say. Good to see you. Where are you going, Kay?
You
try to go behind the camera.
I know, you'd think after all these years in TV, I'd have learned that, right?
Well, apparently
all right,
not.
Here we go.
What a change of pace, by the way.
So you know questions.
Well, I could have read them off the screen, but it made it more fun, didn't it? It's usually Craig that I'm sending to get them. Shaka sometimes. I think I've sent you once, LA.
No, but I usually don't go in front of the camera.
I know, because you're a lot more professional than me.
Boy.
Okay, before we do get to the questions, though, we do have something for Nader Manua. Let's take a look at what that is, shall we?
Oh, no.
Let's see, what is it?
Oh, this won't be good.
Oh!
No. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Nader's got a new book out.
Wow. Look,
that's why
that.
Frank's disappeared. Oh, competition now.
Man, and we can read this because it's in English.
Fascinating.
Nadim, tell us about it. Tell us about the book.
It's not about accounting, is it?
Where do I begin? You know, I was talked into it, say, a year and a bit ago as I was talking to one of my friends who works in the media and has done I've known him for like 20 years. And he was getting me to talk about my life, my career and so on. And he said, you should do a book. I was like, no. And then I kept talking, and the more I was saying, the more he was interested, and other people were interested. And so they took the idea to a publisher, and they said we should definitely do it. And from there, it's been a lot of fun writing about my life, my career, and so on. And it's I feel really proud to have it. Initially, I wasn't sure how to sort of take it, but I feel really proud to see something that represents my story. And for people who know the path that I've been on, I think it's a very good read.
I look forward to reading it. How do we get it? How do we get it, Nadim?
Well, he's going to send us some, right?
Yeah, I'll send some. Yeah, that's the
one.
Yeah,
viewers, for a small fee, I can send it to you.
Yeah, it's, the link's available on Amazon if you want to search for that. And I think it comes to the US in maybe a couple of months, but there's definitely going to be a push over there as well. And yeah, thank you very much for giving me a bit of your time. This is nice.
I hope you do the audiobook version as well, Nadim.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that, to be honest. I'm not going to do that. I think I found it weird, like, writing about myself. So to then be talking about myself for other people to listen to as well, it seems a bit off for me, but I'm sure someone else will do it.
You see, Ian Wright is a man of few words. Fascinating.
Well, there are more words on the back. There are more words on the back. That's the thing. You need to look on the back. There's more there.
See, and if you want to know what else he has to say, you're going to have to get the book, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
I read Stevie's book, so I'm going to have to read Nadim's book, aren't I? Stevie's book.
Yeah, you're too kind. Thank you.
All right. Dear panel, do you think Carlo Ancelotti regrets leaving Everton?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't think, what? Really?
I think that's a bit of a joke, isn't it?
From what?
Yeah. All right, Stevie. Madrid is 13-3 in European Cup finals. The last one they lost was against Liverpool in Paris in 1981. Mm. Will history repeat itself?
Well, the thing is, that game kind of fits in with what's been happening, particularly this year with Real Madrid. Because they only won that game because, for some strange reason, Karius, Liverpool's goalie, was throwing the ball in the back of his own net.
No,
I mean,
you gotta go back to 1981 to the last.
I mean,
did you hear what she said?
No, not will history repeat itself in that game, yeah. When Liverpool beat them, yes, in the final in Paris in 1981.
Yes. Oh, sorry. No.
Yes.
I had actually decided.
Isn't it being dark moment?
It was, yeah. I had decided what the question was before you finished. Oh, the last one.
Oh, this is great television.
But just a reminder that they are 13 times champions as well, Steve. You don't let that, you know, phase you or anything.
Well, here's the thing. Liverpool have won the... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right here, right? Liverpool have,
Liverpool
have won
player.
The Champions League twice in Rome in the same field. Correct?
I don't know.
Yes? 78, Tommy Smith, header.
Oh, yeah, I remember 78 before I was even born.
Yeah, and then we won it. I was playing, 84.
Right. Uh-huh.
So we've already won it in Paris, and we're going back to Paris. So there you go.
So history will repeat itself.
I
love that he asked me. So have they played teams?
You know when you question yourself, and I'm like, we definitely won it twice in Rome. I know that. So that's a great omen.
When you question yourself, Stevie, what happens inside your head?
Well, I then have to gamble. Because I generally never make a decision either way, so I just pick one and gamble on it. And tonight I gambled right.
Or I feel
apparently.
Like, no, when Stevie questions himself, one of us receives a phone call and he'll ask a question. Yeah. That's what I think happens. All right. LA called it. Real Madrid is the bogeyman. They just don't die. Was there ever a match in which the boys played where the other team stole a win right at the death from under them? Nadim?
Yeah, 100%. And that sort of like bogey team in some ways was Manchester United for me for many, many years. There was a time we were playing them at the Etihad. We were doing well and it's like literally the 93rd, 94th minute. Somebody has a ball down the left-hand side, get a ball into the box and Paul Scholes scores a header. And the crowd erupts for them. And it was just that feeling of, oh, not this again. Like, that's what it was for City for many, many years against Manchester United. So I've had that feeling. It was absolutely devastating. So, yeah, I think Man United for a long period were City's bogey team. And now they're just another team in Manchester.
Alex?
I thought there was an opportunity there. And I know it wasn't stealing a win for Nadim to bring back a memory that is so fond in his heart. Aguero!
No.
No.
No. No. No.
Oh.
Because the thing with that goal, when you think about it, like, everybody remembers the Aguero thing, but on the field we didn't hear that. I just thought we'd lost. I'll be honest, yeah. I didn't even know who scored the goal for like days after, because the noise was so loud and everything was so crazy. Like, I didn't watch TV for a couple of days, and then I put the TV on and was like, oh, Sergio scored that goal, the most important goal in the club's history. Who would have thought?
Do you know what? It's a good point, though, isn't it? That everybody remembers it for the commentary, and then obviously the people on the pitch don't remember it for that. Or anyone in the stadium.
The good thing is that he's not reminded of it every other week.
Yeah.
And the week after that, and the week after that, because that's what we do here at ESPN. All right, mm-hmm. Stevie. Oh, no. Does this happen to you?
Easy now. You're asking Stevie to ask himself questions again. Slippery slope.
Here's what's happened. I was sitting here thinking I'm going to get away with this.
No, you're not.
And then I thought I had got away with it. Well, obviously, we lost the league title to Arsenal in the last minute of the game at Anfield. If we'd lost 1-0, we would have won the title. And Michael Thomas, who actually ended up playing for us about 3 or 4 years later, scored with a minute to go, and we lost the title.
Are you sure it wasn't Aguero?
I don't know. I never heard the commentary. Maybe the guy said Aguero instead of Thomas, but...
All right. Stevie, are you sure you wanted to face this Madrid?
Aye. 100%.
Mm. Why?
Well, because logically, you want to play against a team that you're superior to. And if the only thing they're relying on is voodoo, as Gab put it, or anything like that, then I'll take my chances with a proper football team. So, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
A proper football team.
Liverpool's a proper football team.
And what are Real Madrid?
They're a good football team.
One of the 13 times Champions League winners.
They're a good football side that in the Champions League have been hanging on to the participation in this. To the degree that you wouldn't believe what's happened. So I would rather play a team that's gone through that, because it has to run out at some stage, as opposed to playing against a team like Man City, who you know could create and score goals. But unfortunately for them, on occasion, Man City can also throw it away a little bit with some poor defending. So you take Madrid over City every day of the week.
I would. I agree, first and foremost. However, there's something to be said about a feeling within a locker room that maybe senses, you know what, this is meant to be. This is now above our control. We're just going to show up, we're going to play, and we're going to win, because we know, we have seen it over the course of the season that something's going to happen and we're going to win. And that is powerful to have within a locker room. It's also powerful that the other locker room knows there's something about this team that somehow they found a way. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to make a difference between Mohamed Salah scoring a 1v1 against Courtois or not, but it does set Madrid on a path of success, because they have a sense of self-belief that is very, very strong.
All right. Nadim, do you think this loss could have a serious impact on the Premier League title race?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a level of disappointment that exists within that group of players now and all the staff and the like. But the fact is, they've hit that point in the season now where they know exactly how many games they have left. And with those games being there, they know that what's at the end of it. Like, if they were in second and they needed a bit of luck from Liverpool and they were going into this game at the weekend and say it was on Saturday and away to Newcastle, then I think that's probably a bigger blow. But for them, like, you've got 4 games left. You win those 4 games, you get a league title. I think in some ways, it's arguably going to inspire them, because this is their sole focus. If the Champions League was still hanging around for them, they were thinking about the final, maybe it would affect the performance on a week-to-week basis. Maybe they're concerned about, am I going to be available for this or that? But for them, as I say, it narrows their focus. And if they don't manage to win the league, then, you know, they'll be very disappointed, because this is all they have to concern themselves with now. So I think in some ways, I think they'll be fine.
Stevie and all, I'll actually start with you though, Ali. Did Pep get his substitutions completely wrong? Keep your head up, Nadim.
Oh, gosh. I'm fine.
That's what they said.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Look, I don't know whether the substitutions were wrong or not, because how
honestly, comes down to being able to see the game out 4 minutes from the end. So maybe you can pick at certain decisions here and there and feel like maybe he could have done something different. Once the game goes into extra time, I thought that that was going to be a real test of Pep Guardiola as a manager, because you needed to lift your team from essentially the dead. Whereas Madrid, just 5 minutes earlier, were the ones that were dead. Going into extra time, Manchester City had to find energy and momentum from nowhere. And that's when a manager can come in and make a difference. Whether that's diverting a message, creating a new reality, creating a new message, putting forth information, having your team believe in what you're saying so that then you go out and execute rather than play the surroundings. And I don't think Manchester City ever responded to Madrid winning the game late. And their lack of response and how flat they were in extra time had to do with the fact that they were still caught up on, we missed an opportunity, we let that slip, we let that go, and we just don't know how to answer the next question. I think that's maybe where Pep Guardiola could have done a better job of perhaps providing something different for his team so they could focus on that rather than the failures from 5 minutes before.
You agree it's not down to substitution, Stevie?
No, not at all. I fail to see, you know, even...
There's a couple, you know, I think a couple you've that got, they couldn't do anything about, obviously.
Again, to try and... To try and transport somebody into the position of a Manchester City player, having in the space of a minute pretty much blown it. You know, we saw Pep before the extra time. We saw him at halftime of the extra time, getting everybody in, and he was talking to them, and he's trying. What he's trying to do is exactly what Ali's saying about trying to get rid of what happened. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you can't. I mean, really? Do you really think? Maybe you'll get some guys who will be so focused that they won't be, you know, thinking about it or replaying it. But you're telling me you can get 11 players to forget mm-hmm. what an absolute disaster. I think to expect a manager to be able to do that is asking too much. And when you're away from home, and you've had the guts ripped out of you the way they did, you're always up against it. You're always up against it.
Nathan?
So I don't think Pep did anything particularly wrong.
I agree with Stevie. Like, you hit the nail on the head there. Those things like the momentum, the fact you're away from home, the fact that you've just had a huge, huge sort of level of deflation because of that crazy 60 seconds when everything was just there. You know, the board's going up, but you're still fine. But then also, like, going into the extra time period, I think the thing which we neglect to mention, and I understand why you guys said what you said now, like, that's just a silly challenge from Ruben Diaz. I think as they started that period of extra time, if it was just at the same score for 10 minutes, you know, for 15, Real Madrid aren't throwing the bodies at you in the same sort of manner. But that sort of decision like that, you know, it's a tired tackle. But those moments do matter, and Benzema steps up, he scores. And then it's almost like that's the tie. These group of players, they've got the momentum, they've got the crowd, they're going to celebrate free kicks, celebrate shots, clearances. You can kick the ball wherever you want. And I think for City at that point, it's very hard to strangle momentum away from a side that is in the ascendancy, has the confidence, has the clock on their side, have the fans on their side. And City's sort of lineup is different. Because I'll be honest, as the extra time started, I thought City's lineup felt more balanced than Real Madrid's did, because Real Madrid were in goal for it mode for the last like 5 minutes of regulation. So now I'm thinking, I wonder how Madrid are going to play, but you know what City's setup's going to be. So for them to sort of make that mistake, that's, you know, that's criminal. But I wouldn't blame the substitutions, because I think the guys who came off, they were either injured or not performing well. And I think for the guys who came on, some of them made a bit of a difference, but the others, they just didn't step up, unfortunately. But it's a tough task. And as we were hearing there as well, like, one person can have all the belief in the world, but to win these ties, you need everybody to have it. And if you don't have it in these instances, everything's magnified. So I wouldn't blame the substitutions at all now.
Nato, I just wanted to say, again, reiterate what Andy Garcia, the person who just provided us with this tweet, keep your head up, Nathan. Yeah. Keep your head.
Listen, all I know is that because I'm associated with City, and lots of people love City, but lots of people hate City. Like, they hate them with a passion. So this next few days is going to be City getting dunked on. And wherever I turn up, people are like, hey, see, you did it again. You failed. And I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Give him a book, Nader.
Listen, for £17.99 or whatever it is, all your troubles will go away. Read this book and you'll be fantastic, my friend.
There you go. Nadim's book is the answer to everything. Maybe Pep should have read it before this tie and everything would have been okay.
He could have given them out at the end of the 90 minutes as the antidote.
All right. Lastly, has the Champions League seen a better tie in terms of theatre than the one just completed by Real Madrid and Man City? So, in terms of theatre, with everything we saw, first leg and second, can you think of one that was better?
I mean, the PSG Barcelona and the comeback from Barcelona was crazy. The comeback by Liverpool against Barcelona at Anfield was electric. But I think the combination of both games, that's where perhaps this one separates, where there is no sense, there's no explanation possible for what happened and how it happened. Manchester City, while we want Nadim to keep up his head, Manchester City will look at this when things have settled down and every player who was on the field and those that weren't will also feel the same way. And Pep Guardiola in a quiet moment, how are we not going to the final? I'm not sure that those guys will watch the final, to be honest with you, because because it's a reminder of you coming up short when you were there, and you just let it go through your hands. That drama and that tension and those nerves at the end of the game, those are feelings that those players are gonna have for a long time.
They won't watch it, Stevie. They won't watch that final.
Not a chance. Players. No, I never watched the FA Cup final for years after. Not getting there. I wasn't interested. Didn't want to see it. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be playing in it. So I just couldn't watch it.
Still all in favour of two-legged semi-finals?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We were all over it. So
this is a great example to all these dumplings that want to change everything all the time.
Uh-huh.
Why not to change it? Here's a great example of why you leave it alone. Watch these two legs.
Yeah, Nadim, I'm sure that you still agree that it should be two legs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that like people approach the first leg in a certain manner, but you just know that second leg is going to just hit differently. Like I saw this with, say, World Cup qualifying and the like in AFCON and so on. So, like, as time is passing, you see the clock, you're thinking Real Madrid, like, they've got 45 minutes to try and make their way into the final. They have to do this, they have to do that. And it makes for a great game. I think for the teams who are going to be taking part, you know, it's not a normal situation, not a normal game. So how you just got to learn to deal with it, whether you're throwing everybody forward or bringing everybody back. And I think it makes for really, really exciting ties because just that one goal changes everything. And I think for the viewers, if you can be neutral, it's exciting. I think if you're on the losing side, it's not so good. But overall, I think it's fantastic. And I think I'm a big fan myself.
We've got one last thing before we go, actually. Don't worry, it's not like some funny...
It's not a violin for Nadim, is it?
Not a violin.
Listen, I'm fine. Don't worry about me, guys. Don't worry about me.
I don't need one yet.
Somebody that keeps saying they're fine and all right is generally not fine.
I'm good. I'm okay.
So a lot of people were asking extra time questions, even though you weren't here yesterday, and a lot of people were wondering why you weren't here yesterday. What we would like to know is how were you at halftime in that game with Villarreal?
Well, I was putting some things in the washing machine, put it up. I was scared. I was absolutely scared. I was texting everybody going, what's going on? What is this? I was seriously worried. I'm sitting here thinking, how are we going to explain losing to Villarreal? I mean, that was my mindset at halftime. But I'd have to say, 5 minutes after the start of the second half, I went, nah, now we're talking. Here we go.
You didn't have to do the watching
then?
No. Oh, okay.
Well, it was too late. I had to put it on anyway. But I was a scared man.
Helped out a little bit by Geronimo Rulli in the goalkeeper, Villarreal's goalkeeper.
Oh, he was sexy.
Oh, by what? The way. I said, they were saying in the commentary that he should never be playing in the Champions League. And I must admit, I thought that in the first leg. Because I think he loses money if he catches the ball. I think he got the ball once in two games. There must be something in his contract that if he catches it, he loses money.
The ball went between them. Wasn't the best.
Yeah. No, all's well that ends well.
All's well that ends well. Let's see if he's saying that after the final. Real Madrid in Liverpool.
Yeah. Wow.
Thanks so much for sending your questions in. Thanks so much for Nadim for showing us his wonderful new book. We cannot wait to read it.
I've heard it's fascinating.
Get on Amazon.
Keep right on till the end of the road.
Keep your head up, Nadim.
Are you okay, Stevie?
I'm just trying to cheer Nadim up.
All right.
Give him a bit of strength.